scripture reading, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Well, good morning. It is good to be with you. I hope you are enjoying being here today. It's always good to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. Every chance we get, it's good to be that way. It's really good to see Bob and Ann. Yeah. Bob got out of the car this morning and had this little spot on the side of his head. And he said, "Don't say anything." I said, "Now, Bob, you know better than that." He said, "Don't say anything." And then he told me, he said, "You should see the other guy." And I know better. Because I know how it is over at their house. And got tired of him telling her what to do. And she fixed him. Yeah, amen. Amen. That's how that works. That's exactly right. I want to start off this morning by telling y'all something that most of you don't know, and I'm telling on somebody, and I'm sure he's doesn't realize I'm about to tell on him. But I was very excited to see Aiden up here this morning. Now, y'all don't know this about Aiden. Aiden told me about it. But y'all don't know this. When Aiden first came here and John and Mary brought him, Aiden told me point blank that he was an atheist, that he did not believe in God. What a difference a loving congregation can make. What a difference a couple of years can make. And I'm proud of you, Aiden. I'm extremely proud of you. And I was honored to baptize Aiden. But I also realize that it's God that brought him here to you, to us, so that he would have that opportunity to go to heaven. So I'm proud of him, I'm proud of what he's doing, I'm proud of the direction he's going, I'm proud of what he is attempting to do. I'm proud of John and Mary for bringing him. It is absolutely wonderful that we can have that kind of influence on people. To bring them to Christ. Even from as far away as Aiden was at the time. To bring them to Christ, to where not only does he believe, but he has become a strong pillar in our church community. So folks, don't ever think at any point or time that God doesn't have the power to bring back those who are lost into the saving grace that comes to us from Jesus Christ. God's power is what I want to talk about today. But not just God's power. What I want to talk about today is God's power that is in us. Do you realize that God dwells in us? The Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Holy Spirit is God's power in us. And we don't understand, and I've told you all this before, we do not understand the power of God. And so today what I want to do is talk about how we can unleash the power of God that is within us. Now, I'm not talking about doing miracles and stuff like that, so don't fall out on me yet. Give me a few minutes. But what I am talking about is that God's power is the power to save. In Romans that we just read, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because within the gospel is the power to save. God's power is what overcomes sin. God's power is what overcame death. God's power is what dwells within us to let us know that we have a place with Him in heaven. That is God's power. And I start off by telling that this power that we're talking about unleashing is the power that is within each one of us. Each one of us. Folks, it is not me, it is not you individually, it is not anybody, any one person who brings people to Christ. It is the power of God working in you that brings them. That's where it comes from. That's where it is. That is what we have inside of us. God's power to save comes from using us to reach out to other people. Like Aiden. Like those who are out in the world today. Who are lost. But they are searching, folks. And that's something that I've learned along the way. That everybody out there today is searching for something a little better. They're searching for a better way. And the problem that these people are having is this. They're searching in the wrong place. They're searching here on this earth. The better way's not here. The better way dwells within us. It is that Holy Spirit that we receive when we are baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. We receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. And by through us, we can bring others to Christ. Folks, I know there are people sitting in here today that do not have Jesus Christ. I know that. And the reason why I know that is because I seek you out. Dennis said that, you know, if you come out that door right there, I'm fixing to tackle you. That's exactly true. I want to see everybody. I want to talk to everybody. I want to get to know everybody. I want to get to know you. I want to get to know everybody that's here because I know that Christ dwells in us. And through us, we can be used to bring others to Him. Folks, I want to start off with this verse right here in Genesis chapter 1. Y'all know Genesis chapter 1, don't you? Y'all know Genesis chapter 1, verse 1? Yeah? What does it say? In the beginning. Used to have a joke one time that God is a big baseball fan because He would always say, first words in the Bible, in the beginning. Hey, that's funny. I don't care if you liked it or not. Yeah. Folks, in the beginning, God created. Now, one of the things I've told y'all before, we talk about evolution, we talk about the Big Bang Theory, we talk about all these other things, but I want you to know something. That in Genesis 1:1, it tells me everything I need to know about the creation of the world. Everything I need to know about the creation of the universe is told to me in Genesis 1:1. Because it says, in the beginning, God created. That's all I need to know. I don't need to know how. I don't need to know anything other than this. God spoke it, and it happened. Think about that power. God spoke the universe into existence. The last line that I have up there in verse 3, God said, let there be light. And what? God said it, and therefore it happened. It's that simple. I don't need a whole lot of science or whatnot to do that, and that's a good thing because I was not a good science student. But I can tell you this, that I don't need a whole lot of people telling me, well, this is how it happened, this is what happened. I don't need to know that because I know everything I need to know in verse 1 of Genesis 1. And in verse 3, it tells us God spoke it, and therefore it was. Folks, that's the power of God. I've told y'all before that I've had older people that would come to me. My mother was one. She'd come to me and she'd say to me, she said, I don't know why God keeps me around. Mom was 94 when she passed away. She says, I don't know why God keeps me around. I said, I do. I do. I told her, I said, only the good die young. And then she would hit me. But I'd tell her, I know why you're around. You're around because I need you. And she says, well, I can't do anything. And her last 2 years, she was basically bedridden. She'd get up and sit in her chair, but that's about as far as she'd go. But in those last 2 years, she says, I can't do anything. I said, yes, you can. I said, you can pray. Because every time you lift your voice in prayer to God, you are calling upon the Creator of the universe. The power of the universe is in your prayers. The power of the universe is every time you lift your voice to God, you're calling upon the power of the universe. All things can be done through God. Paul himself says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Through Jesus Christ, we can do all things. And we have a bad tendency here in the United States, I'll just tell you this, and it's a United States issue, because I've been to other countries and they don't seem to have this issue like we do. We think we can do it all. We think we can handle it. Whatever it is, we can handle. We can do it. I learned a long time ago, and I'm learning more and more, that I can't do that. My kids yesterday were having car trouble. They don't need to ask me. I can't fix it. But realize that we have to have God. We have to have Christ. Because only through them comes the power of salvation. This is the power of God. And folks, that power dwells in you. You may not know it. You may not understand it. But He dwells in you. You. This is how we bring it about. First, we need to seek out that inner strength. Seek it out. Don't think you can handle it yourself. You can't. You can't. We've got a lot of people here that can do a lot of different things that can help you in any different way that you have, they can help you. But the one that can help you the most is God the Father. So realize this. Paul, in his statements here in Romans, he is saying, I do not do what I really want to do. You know how you overcome temptation? It's through God. You know how you overcome sin? It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, we sin. We fall short. And the only way to overcome those things is through the power of God. So Paul, even being an apostle, says, I'm doing the very thing that I actually hate to do. I don't want to do these things of this earth. I don't want to do these things of the flesh. But you know what? I still do them. We had our Thanksgiving dinner yesterday. We learned that some time ago that we have to work around some 18 different families now to get everybody together. And so we've learned that if we have our Thanksgiving dinner on the Saturday before Thanksgiving, then we get more people there. Because Thanksgiving, everybody's going 500 different directions. Now, don't y'all start doing it Saturday before, then I won't be able to get everybody there. But we kind of learned that. We learned it several years ago. We started doing it. And I smoked a turkey, and man, it was good. Well, gluttony's a sin. I confess, especially when they bring all these desserts and stuff. We always get my sister to bring desserts, and she always brings about 5 pies more than we need. Folks, realize that that's how that works. But understand this, we will fall short. And when we fall short, we have an advocate. Jesus Christ, who was tempted in all ways that we are tempted, yet he was without sin. And therefore we can come boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need and seek help and receive it. Because we have the power of God in us. Notice this. Paul says, the wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. He is saying, I am in this predicament. I am in this problem. I am in this situation. We are all there in that predicament. We are all there in that situation. We all have that problem of dealing with what is flesh versus what is spirit. And he says, I thank God. Thanks be to God, because he has overcome sin and death through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the power of God. That's what lives in us. To overcome sin, to overcome temptation, to overcome death is through the power that dwells in us. Secondly, remember first to seek that inner power. Secondly, we need, and notice how I said that, we need. That means all of us need a deeper relationship with God. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. You can always have a deeper relationship with God. This is a need. This is not a want. You know, I always tell people, you know, people start asking about this time of year, what do you want for Christmas? I'm telling them this year I want money. Just give me money. Tens and twenties are good. You know. But realize they're asking, what do you need? And my response is, you know what? I really don't need anything. I got all the clothes I need. I got all the coats I need. I got all the hats I need. I got all the food I need. I really don't need anything. Then they say, well, what do you want? Well, I want a new boat. And they said, come down a little bit. Yeah. There's a difference between need and want. A big difference. I want this, but I really need this. Folks, here's the deal. We need a deeper relationship with God. Do not ever think that you're as deep as you need to go. Don't ever think that. Christ may dwell in our hearts. We're taught to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? To always have your mind, to always have your heart, to always have everything about you focused on God. That's what that means. That doesn't mean to be on your knees all day long every day. But to pray without ceasing means to have a prayerful heart. One in which is always there, always available. Always with the knowledge that God is with me every step of the way. This is a deeper relationship. And notice what it says here in John chapter 14 verse 23. It says this, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will follow my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Notice what that says there. To have a deeper relationship with God is to focus our every being, every part of our body on doing the will of God. If we focus on doing God's will, then He will have a deeper relationship with us. And we will have a deeper relationship with Him. We will come to Him and make our dwelling with Him. To seek after God. To seek to do His will in everything that we do. Do it with the mindset of God. In everything that we do. Do it as if I was doing it for God, not for man. Doing for God. This is the mindset that we should have. And within that mindset, that brings us to that deeper relationship. Focus your attention. Now I understand, and I want you to know this, this isn't an easy thing to do. Things happen during the day. Things happen at your job. People irritate you. I irritate people. She was enthusiastic with that one. Realize that we do these things, and sometimes when those things happen to us, what happens? We forget about God. Folks, I gave a lesson Wednesday night on self-control. Self-control is a gift from God. It is something that is learned. It is something that is worked on. It is something that we should all have. And folks, I've learned something along the way too, and I'm going to share it with you right now. The best way to have self-control toward your brother or toward your sister or toward someone out there in the world who is treating you wrong, who is saying bad things about you, who is saying all manner of evil against you falsely for the namesake of Jesus Christ. As Jesus told his apostles, those things would happen. That's in Matthew chapter 5, by the way. He told them it was going to happen. You know, the best way to have self-control toward someone else is this. Look at that person as someone whom God loves so much that He sent His Son to die for. Look at that person as someone who God loves so much that He wants that person to be with Him in eternity in heaven. Folks, that's a mindset we all need. Every person out there is a soul that Jesus Christ died for. It's a whole lot more difficult to get angry with somebody when you realize that Jesus bled for them just like He bled for you. Thirdly, we need to increase in love. Remember the two greatest commandments. Number one is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy mind. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I went back to Leviticus where it was first said, to love your neighbor as yourself. Loving individuals. If you love them as yourself, realize it's much more difficult to get angry with them. Love them as yourself. Treat them as you would want to be treated. Help them along the way as you would want them to help you. And as we do this together, we can bring others to Christ. It is the love of this congregation that has brought so many to Christ. That's where it comes from. Loving one another. Increase in love toward God and toward your neighbor. Then I want you to see this in Ephesians chapter 3:19. He tells us that to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all, I'm going to insert that word, all knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. You may be filled to all the fullness of God. And this next verse is also a verse that you need to understand as well. Because we want to be filled with Christ. We want to be filled with God. We want to have that inner being within us. And notice this. John says, as he quotes Jesus, "On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you." The power is in you. The power of God dwells in you. I in me, and me in you, Jesus says. Folks, I want you to understand what we have dwelling in us. And I don't believe that any of us have that full knowledge and understanding. I believe we fall short in that. We don't understand His power. We don't often understand His grace. We don't often understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ the Son. But here's what I want you to understand. If that power dwells within you, you have the power to spread the gospel. You have the power to teach about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You have the power to live your life so that others may see God in you and be drawn to you because God's light shines through you. You have that power. And I also want you to understand this part. The power that dwells in you gives you the power to overcome sin, overcome temptation, overcome death, and have eternal life. That is the power that is given to us. So today, what I want you to do is to seek that inner dwelling of God. Increase your relationship with Him. Improve your relationship with one another. And the result will be that He will dwell with us forever and ever. Until the end, when we will dwell with Him in heaven. That is our goal. That is our hope. Realize the power that dwells in you. Do that today, as together we stand and sing.